Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. And obviously I'm picking this up out of a lot of context around it. But nonetheless, it stands by itself. He says in verse 27, Paul speaking, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Let me read it again. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Regardless of the fact that there's a baptismal next to me and the word baptized is in our text, this text isn't actually a reference to water baptism necessarily. He says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And I'll explain this further in a minute. This verse isn't really a reference to water baptism, but it is certainly the reason why we're baptized. Does that make sense? It's not a reference necessarily to water baptism, but it is no doubt the reason why we're baptized. Now, kind of let that simmer in the back of your mind for a minute, and let me just kind of go another direction for a second. One of the things that, I guess probably the fundamental thing that separates Christianity from other religions or, you know, whatever, is that religion basically is you trying to change yourself to be good enough to have right standing with God, right? There's a set of rules I'm going to follow. I'm going to go to church this many days a week. I'll stop doing this. I'll start doing that. Religion is this adherence to ordinances and rules to somehow earn favor with God. That's not Christianity. Christianity is not us changing so we can be like God, changing outwardly and all that stuff so that we can somehow have a right standing with God. No, no, no. Christianity is God changes us. Does that make sense? It's fundamentally different. We don't try to change ourselves to be good enough to be, you know, in God's presence. God changes us by a work of His Spirit and by a work of His grace. Amen? The Bible says, if you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, all old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You're a new creation in Christ. Amen? And so what I want to do this morning, instead of coming and giving a sermon on what's going to be your New Year's resolutions, what are you going to change about yourself, what are you going to do differently this year, instead what I want to do is just say, let's celebrate the fact that we've been changed. Amen? And that He's going to change us. It's not going to be by our religion. It's not going to be by our self-effort. It's just a work of His Spirit and His grace. Guys, we've been changed. This is what sets Christianity apart. This is why, you know, people that are Christians, true, real Christians, change. You know why? They've been changed. Does that make sense? We stop doing drugs. We stop sleeping around. We stop stealing. We stop doing those things. Not to change, but because we've been changed. And so what's interesting is this text, this statement that Paul makes, he says, "For as many of you that were, he's from New York, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ." You were baptized into Christ and you've put on Christ. There's been a fundamental change that has happened to you. As I said earlier, this verse isn't necessarily a reference to water baptism, but it is the reason for water baptism. Does that make sense? Notice what he says. "As many of you as were baptized into Christ." Not into water, but he says you were baptized into who? Christ. What does that mean? Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 6. Baptized into Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says this in verse 13. He says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. When Paul talks about being baptized into Christ or baptized into Jesus, baptized in the Spirit, what he's talking about is, if we can just put it in really simple terms, becoming a Christian. This is when you became a Christian. You see, the baptism he's referring to is not water baptism. It's the spiritual baptism that took place when you opened up your heart and you believed in Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Does that make sense? It's just a really biblical way of saying when you got saved. When you put your faith in Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and you surrendered your life to Him, you were baptized. The word baptism, all it means is to immerse, to be completely immersed in. And it carries the idea of identification and unity. And when you believed by faith in Jesus, that's when you were, if you would, immersed into Christ. You were brought into a relationship with Christ. You were born again. Look at the verse right before this, actually. He says in verse 26, in Jesus Christ, you were all sons of God through faith. So the real baptism that has changed us is not the water baptism. It's when you were baptized into Christ. Does that make sense? But here's what I wanted to get at. Because we were baptized into Christ, we get water baptized. Does that make sense? Because we were immersed into Christ, identified with Christ, we've now put on Christ, we get water baptized. Did you know there's over 100 references to water baptism in the New Testament? 100 of them. Jesus' baptism, which was an example for us and a foreshadow of what he was going to do by dying and raising from the dead. That's what baptism speaks of, going down in death and up in life. That's recorded in all four Gospels. The apostles taught on baptism. We see baptism all throughout the New Testament. It's a huge part of salvation. In Jesus' Great Commission, he says, go into the world, baptize all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Mark's account, he says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, what I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that baptism saves you. Water baptism. The only baptism that saves you is if you're baptized into Christ, right? The only way we're saved is through faith. But I believe baptism, water baptism, was intended to be a very, very close, intimate part of the salvation experience. That when you gave your heart and life and faith to Jesus Christ and were baptized supernaturally into Him, that God gave us this outward expression of an inward reality. Baptism is an outward physical expression of an inward spiritual truth. We were baptized into Christ by faith. We were brought into relationship with Jesus Christ. We put on Christ. We're in Christ. We're saved. And because of that, we get baptized to demonstrate what's happened to us. Amen? Now, how many of you guys have heard that before? How many of you guys know that stuff? See, I realize I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but this is kind of what struck me about this. We have all kinds of ideas about baptism. We look at baptism and I think all of us kind of come from we all come from different backgrounds about, you know, different styles of baptism and when do you get baptized and all that stuff. And we could talk about that. But I think all of us would agree doctrinally on this, that baptism is not for salvation, but a demonstration of salvation, right? We agree on that. But what's interesting about us, when I say us, I just kind of mean American Christians maybe. We still look at baptism as, I don't know, we look at it as something like kind of an add-on, kind of an option, kind of like, well, I'll get saved and maybe in 10 years when I'm ready and the whole family's gathered together, we'll have a big baptismal service. Or maybe you approach it like, well, maybe I'll get baptized and that will just demonstrate that I'll never sin again. Or maybe you're like, I'll get baptized and then I'll just kind of check that off the box of things I guess I'm supposed to do as a Christian. Right? We have all these kind of weird ideas about baptism, but what I've noticed in the New Testament, that there's a completely different attitude towards baptism. I was doing my own devotions yesterday, going through the book of Acts, and I was noticing baptism. It's interesting. Like I said, there's over 100 references to it. In Acts chapter 2, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, stands up there in Jerusalem, and he preaches, and we're told, how many people came to faith? Do you guys remember on the day of Pentecost? 3,000 people. Try to imagine 3,000 people. That is a lot of people. 3,000 people, we're told, received the word, and guess what they did immediately? Guess what? I'll give you a hint. They got baptized. Can you imagine how that went? They got baptized. So, I don't know, maybe it was just the apostles or whatever, but I mean, each guy would have to dunk a lot of people to get 3,000 baptized. I mean, the chiropractor appointments after that would have been through the roof. I inevitably go to the chiropractor after every baptism, just the way it is. It's just a weird motion. That's all I got to say. But 3,000 people. What's interesting is that Peter just says, look, you need to be baptized. But he doesn't like get into a whole thing about, you know, doctrinal class on baptism and all the rest. He doesn't go into ins and outs. It's just like they kind of intuitively knew, like, okay, of course, we're going to get baptized. Later on, the book of Acts, chapter 8, Philip, led by the Spirit, well, actually because of a persecution, he goes down into Samaria. He's preaching the word down there. Tons of people are getting saved. And as soon as they get saved, we're told they're baptized. We'll skip chapter 8 and come back to that in a second. But there in chapter 9, a guy by the name of Saul. You guys remember Saul? His name got changed to what? Paul. Paul the Apostle. You guys remember his salvation experience? He was on a road to Damascus with the intent and purpose to go arrest Christians, persecute Christians. He meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. Boom, bright light hits him. Knocks him off his horse. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Christ. I'm the one you're persecuting. And at that moment, if you guys remember, Paul was blinded for 3 days. Didn't eat anything for 3 days, 3 nights. He's all, you know, just kind of sorting this thing out. He gives his faith to Christ. God sends a guy named Ananias to him, remember? Lays his hands on him. He's healed. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says the first thing he did is what? He got baptized. It's interesting because then later on in chapter 10, Peter, Mr. Jewish, Mr. Keep the Law, is hanging out at a tanner's house, which was a real shady thing to do if you're a Jew to begin with, and that's a whole other story. But he's there and he has this vision. You guys remember the vision of the sheet? And it was God showing that, you know, what was once deemed unclean has now been made clean. More than just food. He was talking about Gentiles. I'm speaking in shorthand here. You guys remember the story. The point was there was a guy named Cornelius. You guys remember that? Cornelius was a Roman centurion. And he calls, he has this vision. I forget how it goes, but basically he's supposed to go and call Peter. Peter comes to his house. Peter's there and preaches the gospel to this Roman guy, Cornelius. And while Peter's preaching the gospel, do you guys remember what happened? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what happened? Immediately Cornelius what? Gets baptized and his whole family gets baptized. Later on, chapter 16 of the book of Acts, there's, you know, Paul gets into that area of Philippi, into Europe. And he meets a woman by the name of Lydia. We're told that she was a seller of purple. There's a lot there, but basically purple was like the high commodity of the day. She was probably very rich. She was very influential, well-to-do woman. She gives her life to Jesus and immediately what? She's baptized. And later on in that chapter, the guys get arrested. Remember that? They get arrested for casting out a demon out of this girl, and the guys don't like it because they were making money off the girl. You guys remember that whole situation? They get thrown in jail. That's the scene where at midnight they're like praising God and there's like an earthquake. You guys remember that? And the jailer's like getting ready to Harry Carey. He's like getting ready to kill himself because he figures, oh my gosh, you know, the gates or the bars are open and everybody's escaped. I'm a dead man. Anyway, I'm just going to kill myself the honorable way in that culture. Paul's like, don't hurt yourself. Don't do it. Instead, he receives Jesus. You guys remember what happened? They take the guys back to his own house. He cleans their wounds. He gets saved and what? Baptized. And his whole family gets baptized. Later on, you got the Ephesian believers there in Acts chapter 19. My point is that every instance of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ in the New Testament is immediately followed by baptism. as if it was a part of the salvation experience. Now, hear me when I say this. I'm not saying it helped get them saved. It was part of the experience of being saved. Does that make sense? It was that immediate outward demonstration. Here's my point. I began saying it this way. We believe doctrinally that baptism is that outward, physical demonstration of an inward spiritual reality that we've been saved, baptized into Christ through faith, having Christ now put onto us. But we look at baptism as optional. Maybe if I get around to it, maybe if when I'm a better Christian, or you know what I'm saying? We have this kind of weird, tweaked attitude. And all I'm saying is it's so far different from the urgency and excitement that we see in the New Testament church. Does that make sense? They were like, where's the dang water? When can I get baptized? I need to get baptized right now. In fact, in my favorite story, the one I kind of skipped over, in Acts chapter 8, I love that because here's Philip, and he's basically leading a revival in Samaria. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, you need to go down towards Gaza, towards the desert. And he says, okay. And he just starts going. And he sees off in the distance a chariot. And the Holy Spirit says to him, go hook up with that chariot. You guys remember this? In that chariot was an Ethiopian official, a eunuch. And he's coming back from Jerusalem. Evidently, he believed in God. He was a God-fearer, they would call him. He's on his way back from Jerusalem, headed back down to Africa, to Ethiopia. The Holy Spirit says, go connect with that chariot. Philip runs, walks next to it. The guy, the Ethiopian eunuch, just happens to be reading out of Isaiah and says, hey, what's the deal with this scripture? Invites Philip up into the thing. They begin to talk. It says that Philip opened his mouth and began from the scriptures to preach Jesus Christ. And right as they're passing by, evidently they go by like a little creek or a little bit of water. Actually, let me read it to you because this is awesome. They get there in Acts chapter 8, verse 34. I'll just start there. The eunuch said to Philip, about whom I ask you, does this prophet say this about himself or about someone else? He's asking about the scripture that he read. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? In a different translation, the New Living Translation, it reads like this. Why can't I be baptized? Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? Do you guys catch the attitude difference? We're like, maybe I'll get around to baptism someday. I mean, I know Jesus told us to. I know that it's all over the New Testament. I know that it's that demonstration of what Jesus has done for me. And, you know, if I get around to it, or if I get the whole family together on a particular day, or if it's warm enough outside, or if I do, we have all these weird ideas. But in the early church, and especially this Ethiopian eunuch, he's like, where's the water? Me baptized. Can I please, can I get baptized? Philip, come on, let's baptism. Do you guys catch the difference in attitude? Here's why I think it is. I think they just got it more. I think they just understood that what this was obviously wasn't their salvation, but they couldn't wait to demonstrate in some way what had happened to them. They couldn't wait to participate in that physical thing that we'd been given to do that demonstrates what's happened to us. When we were baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. That makes sense? We put on Christ. That speaks of that phrase, put on Christ, means we put something on. We were clothed with something, and that something was Christ. The whole point of baptism, it speaks of identification, unity with. Because you've been baptized into Christ, let's put it this way. What's true of Christ is true of you. Christ is a son. He's the Son of God. Now, we're not the Son of God, but guess what? The verse before this says, because of faith, we've been made sons. We've been adopted into the family of God. And don't get the wrong idea about adoption, by the way, in the Bible. It doesn't mean adopted as little helpless babies. It means we've been given full, like, just absolute authority and privilege like a grown adult into the family of God. Because he's the heir, we're an heir. Because Jesus stands before God completely righteous, we stand before God completely righteous. What's true of Jesus is true of you if you're in Christ. Does that make sense? You're in him. We're not baptized alongside of him. We're not baptized to have like an understanding of him. When we come to faith, we are baptized into Christ. Ephesians says it over and over and over again. We are in him. So when the Father sees us, he sees Jesus. What I'm saying is, because you got saved, a radical transformation has happened. You are no longer the same. The old you died with Jesus on the cross. You've been raised to new life in Christ. Because he died, you died. But because he raised, you raised. Because he's righteous, you're righteous. Because he's holy, you're holy. Because he's a son, you're a son. Because he's an heir, you're an heir. What's true of Jesus is now true of us because we've been baptized into Christ. Does that make a little bit more sense? And these guys were like, I don't have to get baptized. I can't wait to get baptized. Because I'm going to go on record that something radical has happened to me. I'm not promising I'll never do that again. I'll be a good little boy and girl. I'll be better. I'll be more religious. They're saying, no, you don't understand. I died. I'm the old me's dead. I'm not trying to be better. I'm just dead and I'm a new creation in Christ. I've been born again. I'm saved. That's what they were saying. You guys tracking with me? They were saved and they got it. And they were like, well, maybe we should consider baptism. They're like, where's the dang water? I want to get baptized. I want to go on record. I want to experience. See, a lot of times we talk about baptism as being that display to be done publicly for others to see. And that is absolutely true. But I think also baptism was meant for the person who got saved, that they could somehow experience something that was physical, that was speaking of something that happened to them spiritually. All that to say is if you're a Christian and you haven't been baptized, truly from the bottom of my heart, don't feel pressured to be baptized today. But I would say this, why wouldn't you get baptized today? Because you know what? You're not fully experiencing all that Christ has for you. You're not fully experiencing for yourself. And listen, baptism is indeed that demonstration to everybody else that you are identified with Christ. See, this is what I love about these guys. They weren't like, I'll believe in Jesus, but I won't let anybody know about it. They're like, I don't care who knows about it. I'm a completely different person. I am born again. I'm identified with Jesus. And they didn't care who knew about it. Amen? So all that to say, listen, guys, is if you've not been baptized, I want to give you that opportunity today. Number one, if you're not a believer in Jesus, you need to be double baptized. And here's what I mean by that. You need to be baptized into Christ. You need to just open up your heart to Jesus. And then you can, if you choose to, be baptized in water, which is just a demonstration of what's happened to you inwardly, physically. Amen? If you've not been baptized and you've been saved for any amount of time, guess what? I believe you should get baptized. Why? Jesus said we should. Jesus gave us the example. The example we have all through the Bible is at the moment of salvation, people got baptized. They didn't, you know, the eunuch didn't say, oh, there's some water, but if I just had some board shorts. He's like, let's do it. Because I was thinking about this, and I know I've already made the point and belabored it and all that stuff, but I was just thinking about this. What makes a woman who is well known in the community, who has money, Lydia, there in Acts 16, say, I don't care, let's get baptized right now. What causes a hardened Roman soldier to get baptized by some nobody Jewish fisherman? Just right there say, dude, I'm a Roman soldier, you're a whatever you are, but I need to get baptized right now. Do you understand like that humility of like, I'm a Roman soldier, like there's a lot of hardness associated with that and like manliness. And he's like, I don't care. I'm getting baptized. What causes an Ethiopian high up ranking official who's got a whole entourage with him say, stop everything right now. I'm not changing my clothes. I'm not doing anything else. I need to get baptized because I've been born again and I don't care who knows. I need to do it now. What causes people to act so spontaneously and so radically? Because they were saved. They were saved and they knew it. And they needed, they wanted to experience all that it had for them. And they wanted to declare it to anybody who would see. You guys tracking with me? Guys, I don't know if there's even anybody in here to be that needs to be baptized. And I felt like the Lord was doing this. And I'm like, Lord, really? Seriously, what if nobody wants to get baptized today? And I get down in the water. And he's whispered in my heart. He said, I sent Philip out into the desert for one guy. I'm willing to get down in the water, even if there's just one person here that hasn't been baptized yet and needs to, man. I'll meet you right here. And guess what? You're not even doing it out in front of like all the Roman centurions or people at work. You're among your family right now. And you can't get baptized here. I don't know where you can get baptized. But my clothes will get wet. I know. Crazy. They'll dry. I don't know if it's the right time. Listen. All I'm saying is think of it this way. We got to think of it differently. We've been saved from hell. We're born again. We've been baptized into Jesus Christ. We're identified with Jesus. From now on, the Father looks at us that the way he looks at his son, Jesus, because we're in him. And this is something I know I can't preach into your head or preach into my head. It's got to be a work of the Holy Spirit. But I guess all I'm saying is the reason these guys were so dang radical back in this day, they were just glad they were saved. Bottom line. They weren't pledging to be better or be different or stop doing this. They recognized a radical transformation had occurred and they would never be the same ever again. And they were personally moved to just say, look, I don't want to go halfway with this. I'm not going to play games with this. I want to fully immerse myself. I have been immersed into Christ, but I want, thank you for this physical act that demonstrates that I have been. And plus, I want everybody to know that I belong to Jesus. You know, we have to understand when you go into the waters of baptism, you're not declaring, I will never sin again. I am perfect. I pledge. No, you're saying, I'm a dirty, filthy, rotten, grody sinner that Jesus loved and he died for me. And when he died, I somehow died with him. By faith, and just like he rose from the dead because I put my faith in him, I've been given new life. I'm not perfect, but I am perfectly forgiven, and I am a part of his family, and I'm saved. Amen? It's identification. Great vocabulary this morning. Is that how you say it? Identification? Man. We're identifying. That was the word I was actually looking for. We're identifying with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Guys, we're saved. Amen. So here's the deal. Let's all stand right now. Wait a minute, you might be asking. Where's the 3 points that start with P? There has to be 3 P's that I'm supposed to do this new year. Look, here's my whole point this today. I think this is exactly how the Lord wants to set the tone for the new year. Not with 3 P's that we need to do better this year, or 3 things we're going to change. You know what I want for, I really believe the Lord wants for our church this year? To be radically in love with Jesus. To be radically amazed that we're saved from hell. Sometimes we get Christianity backwards, you guys. We think it's something we do for God. Christianity is not what we do for God. Christianity is what God has done for us. And everything beyond that is a response to what he's done for us. All of our service, all of our church stuff, everything is a response to him saving us from hell. So I don't have, 3 points of application for you to do this upcoming year. All I want to just remind us of is what's been done on our behalf. And you know what? If you're here and you're a believer in Jesus and you've not been baptized, you have an opportunity to radically do what they did in the Bible. To radically do what the Bible teaches. To follow in the footsteps of an Ethiopian eunuch and the apostle Paul and Lydia and the Philippian jailer and Cornelius. You get to do exactly what they did. To spontaneously, radically just say, I'm getting baptized. I don't care who knows. I don't care if I'm all wet. I don't care if it's embarrassing or whatever. I'm going to do it. You have that opportunity today. And also, listen, more importantly, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, today is the day for you to get saved. The Lord brought you here this morning so that you could hear this. You're a sinner. But God loves you. and he died for your sin so that you could be saved, so that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell forever. Jesus paid for you on the cross so that you don't have to die and be separated from God. He tasted death for you. He raised from the dead. He says to you right now, if you believe in me, you will be saved. You need to believe in Jesus. And I'm not talking about an intellectual assent to the fact that there was a man named Jesus who lived. Duh, everybody knows that. What I'm talking about is you have to, with everything in your heart, just say, I can't save myself. Listen, you have to hear this. And I don't care if you are Christian and you've heard it 100 times. Hear it again, because it's good for you anyway. There's a lot of things you can gamble with in life. Your soul is not one of them. If you get this wrong, it's death forever. If you get this one wrong, there's no hope. If you get this one wrong, it's eternity. You have to have your soul right with God. You have a sin issue. There's nothing you can do in your own power to undo your sin, and your sin separates you from God. God, knowing that, and loving you and loving me, sent his son to deal with the sin issue, to remove sin on our behalf. But he's not going to force that salvation upon anybody, because he's after a love relationship with us. So he's saying, look, if you will believe that I did this for you, and if you'll let me forgive you, I will. The price has been paid. The ball is now in your court. So if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to put your faith in him today. Again, we're not talking religion. We're talking about just accepting what Christ has done for you. Grab a holding onto it with faith. And that's when you're baptized into Christ. And then come and be baptized in water. For all the reasons we've talked about. The example Jesus gave. The teachings Jesus gave. And really that it's the experience of salvation. The outward experience of what's happened inwardly. Identifying with Christ. Guys, we have been baptized into Jesus, and we have put on Christ. It's past tense. It's a done deal. We're identified with him. Let's do it physically. Let's do it outwardly if need be. What we're going to do right now is we're just going to pray. We're going to leave the lights on today as we just pray. And Zach's going to lead us in worship. I'm just going to scooch around right over here, and me and Pastor Mike. And if you need to be baptized, just come right now, and we'll meet you in the water and we'll worship. Otherwise, let's just rejoice that we're saved. Amen?